again for your mercy and your faithfulness that has preserved us and brought us to the end of 2017 and taking us into the year of our Lord 2018. We do not take your mercies for granted. And for this we are extremely grateful. As we come to share your word, I pray that, Lord, you will anoint me afresh. So I will speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. I ask the same unction to be on that's on me to be upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me. Those who are here, those who will hear me remotely, electronically. So this word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled, tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray for mercy to be faithful as I deliver the word, that indeed I will do it with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And everybody in agreement, receiving everything I prayed in their life, said, amen. Numbers have spiritual significance. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but the new birth, birthing, I'm not talking about being born again now, birthing a new beginning, a new life, a new upgrade into your spiritual life is going to characterize this 2018 that we're going into. I was thinking of upgrade in another sense. You know, if you have an iPhone, when a new software comes out, they send you what is called an upgrade. They send it to you electronically, then you put it on your phone. That new upgrade takes your phone, the software in your phone, to another level. There are certain things it could not do before that it starts to do. There are certain applications that would not run on the old software. They will have to run. That's why you need an upgrade. Turn to your neighbor, say you need an upgrade. Say you need a spiritual upgrade. Say you can't run Tabernacles on the software of Passover. You can't run it on the software of Pentecost. Say you need an upgrade. And you're going to get one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need an upgrade. The challenges of our time, the gross darkness, the perilous times, even now, just traveling has its perils. Nothing is like it used to be. You begin to see, you know, there's terrorism. You know, the other day we went to see our children, you know, and we were on a bridge in London, you know, and I was telling William's dad, Daddy Carl, because he came over to spend some time with us. I said, this was the same road. And it was in the evening. I said, it was the same place, the same time that this guy drove a car the other day and kill people. I said, of course that won't happen today in Jesus' name. And of course it didn't happen. But what is the point is this. Unlike it was 10, 15, 20 years ago, because of terrorism and the perilous times we're living in, and the, you know, abounding iniquity in the hearts of men, things that ordinarily you would take for granted, you can't take for granted anymore. You cannot be in a place now and like in an airport or any kind of public place, you know, and have 100% guarantee that nothing will happen. Bombs, terrorists, all kinds of crazy things are happening. The only man that is confident is the man that is walking in the mercy of God. Because the only guarantee you have is not the security agents. Thank God, God uses them and we pray for them. And they're doing a good job. We give God the glory for that. But the only guarantee you have is the mercy of God that will preserve you. So as we go into 2018, it's going to be a year of the birth of new beginnings and a new upgrade. God is going to upgrade you Let me get it, see it in my notes again. I have it in my heart, but I just want to make sure I don't make any mistake. He's going to upgrade you spiritually. Let's say he's going to upgrade me spiritually. That's the first thing. The first upgrade is spiritual. Say he's going to upgrade me spiritually. Then he's every with that from with that spiritual upgrade, there's going to become an upgrade in your health. You're going to be healthier in 2018 than you were in 2017. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The sicknesses and the weaknesses of 2017 will go with 2017. Hallelujah. You won't wake up anymore with headache and backache and legache. Hallelujah. Amen. Because the life of God that is made manifest in your mother is going to upgrade you. He says his life is medicine to all your flesh. He didn't say part of your flesh. He said all your flesh. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, I've got a medical upgrade. Amen. This one is not from Obamacare. Amen. This is the one God gives. Hallelujah. The only premium you are asked to pay is the premium of prayer. Glory be to God. There's going to be an upgrade in your health. You know, there's something we've been doing by the mercy and the grace of God, and we've been doing it faithfully. You know, for visitors who may be listening, you know, we do this. Every Sunday, I pray for the healing and health of the people, you know, in the church. You know, it's not because people are sick. Sometimes they're sick, you know, but sometimes they're not even sick. But you need to understand that sickness begins to work at the cellular level. It's happening right down at the level of your DNA, at the level of your cells. Medical science is finding more and more of this, more healings now and more therapies, you know, they call it gene therapy. They're going to heal you at the genetic level. There are all kinds of, you don't know, but you see, there are all kinds of crazy things because of Satan and the sin nature that are happening inside your body. You don't even know. You see, many times we go to the doctor and they do checkup and they do CT scan and everything. They now begin to see what has been working for 20 years. Some ailment that has been incipient inside the system that has been quietly, you know, working, so, you know, being distorted at the cellular level, but nobody can pick it until it manifests. But when you begin to pray, and you begin to ask God to put life into your mother body, you are dealing with that sickness. It will never show up. I say you have an upgrade in your health in Jesus' name. You're going to have an upgrade in your family relationships. Upgrade your relationship with your wife. Upgrade your relationship with your husband. Upgrade your relationship with your children. Upgrade your relationship with your grandchildren. And so on and so forth. Hallelujah. Your parents. Upgrade in every area of your life. Hallelujah. The old software is not going to work anymore. God is giving you, he's taking you to a higher level by the power of his spirit, so that the love of God that already is inside your heart is going to manifest itself on a higher. It's going to be easy to forgive. Before a disagreement and quarrel comes, you will see it ahead of time. Amen. And you will avoid it with the wisdom of God. You will ask, you will see, you know, your brother's sin, and you will ask life for them, and he won't pay you like he used to pay you before. You know why? You've been upgraded. Your emotions will not be as easy to manipulate as it used to be. Can he do me gone? He will not do it gone again. In our language, that thing really hurt me. It will not hurt you. You know why? There is a healing power that is coming from the Holy Spirit that is working on your mind, your will, and your emotions, and insulating you from that kind of pain. You begin to think like God. You begin to speak like God. You begin to act like God. The people who are nailing Jesus to the cross, they was hurting Jesus, but it did not hurt him about the people. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Jesus had no emotional resentment towards those men. They were doing their job. It wasn't those men that crucified Jesus. The person that really crucified Jesus was the high priest and the people that delivered him to Pilate. He was not even Pilate. It was not even Pilate. Pilate washed his hands and said, you know, I am free from the blood of this man. When you begin to see things the way God sees them, you stop getting hurt easily emotionally. This is a year of upgrade. Upgrade. You're growing up now. You're no longer at that level where every little thing disturbs you. Every little thing, you know, worries you. Every little thing causes an argument and a quarrel. You can say, no, it's okay. If you want to go this way, it's fine. If you want to go this way, it's fine. Like Abraham did with Lot. Abraham said, Lot, wait, we are brethren. We are brethren. There's no need for us to fight about cattle and grass. If you want to go this way, I will go this way. If you want to go this way, I will go this way. You know, a man who is walking with God, it doesn't matter where you go. So long as God goes with you, you prosper. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Upgrade! Upgrade! Upgrade you to another level of operation. So all your interpersonal and family relationships will be upgraded in Jesus' name. You know, you're going to come into a new, it's a new beginning, a new birth. You're going to birth yourself by the Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost who's going to do it through you. You know, birth yourself to a higher level of operation. And then you're also going to experience an upgrade financially. I know we would like that one. Praise the Lord. How many want to upgrade financially? Hallelujah. Like mom was giving the testimony. Amen. This one where it's only white men and it's only certain people that operate at particular levels, God is going to lift his church. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Doors are going to open. Wisdom and favor and mercy is going to be given and taking us to a higher level. Even there are things we don't even know the full extent of what God is going to do. Hallelujah. But you must have a great expectation. There's going to be the upgrade. It's going to be spiritual. It's going to be in the area of your health. It's going to be in area of your relationships. It's going to be area of your finance and your career. But the foundation is the spiritual. Once you can get the spiritual upgrade, all the other upgrades will follow. And that's what I want to talk to us about this evening. You know, a year of new births, a year of new beginnings, a year of upgrade, of spiritual upgrades. Now, talking about this birthing thing, I'm reminded by the Holy Spirit of what God did to give birth to Isaac in the life of Abraham. And I bring this as a prophetic word. I actually shared some of this in 2017. It was around Passover, around Easter, and I brought a prophetic message, which was the resurrection in Abraham and Sarah. Now, turn with me in your Bible to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17. Hello, somebody. And this is the word that God gave Abraham. I said something to us this morning that sometimes when you're reading the Bible, it's Abraham, but it's you he's talking about. Because the Bible is a prophetic map. Everything about our lives is coded inside the types and shadows and the characters inside the Bible. And it takes the Holy Spirit to know, and that's why you need prophetic pastors and teachers like me and others, you know, to bring light. See, in thy light you will see light. And this is a word I have for you for 2018. So God comes to Abraham. We know the story. And you know, Abraham is 99 years old. For years, God has been displeased. Don't let me use the word angry. Angry is probably too strong. But he's been displeased with Abraham. Because Abraham tried to do by the flesh what God wanted to do by the Spirit. And he took the counsel of his wife to, you know, go into his maid, this Egyptian that they brought called Hagar. And of course, you know the story, they had Ishmael. God was not, he was very displeased. You know, this just by the side, you know, and it's a lesson for all of us. You know, thank God for your wife, thank God for your husband, thank God for the people around you. But even after you talk to them, talk back to God. Because they are not infallible. What What Sarah said and told Abraham to do was not of God. And Abraham just took her counsel and didn't check with God. He should have checked with God. He should have checked with God. So, the woman has said this way, but God, what do you think? What? You know, God would have told him, don't try it. But this is just, you know, free of charge, by the way. And when I tell you these things, you know, I call it Jara, praise the Lord, in our language, just, you know, it's just an extra. But there's something about Abraham you need to understand. The reason why Abraham did that was his own flesh too wanted to do it. Got you a check, yeah. Hello. Somebody said in their heart, you know, I'm picking by the Spirit. Somebody said, so you mean Abraham to walk now? He was a man. Sin nature. The reason why all these things are recorded in the Bible is to give you an eye hope. See, if somebody as great as Abraham had fleshly problem, yeah, he's not this small girl, you know, Hagar. The wife said, no problem. He should have said no. But he didn't say no, because he too wanted to do it. That's the truth. And God was displeased with him. I wouldn't say angry, because God loved Abraham. Abraham was a good man. But, you know, like all of us, he had his fleshly weaknesses in these areas. The good news is that in spite of that, he still made his destiny. Hallelujah. Say, if God helped Abraham, God will help me. And then give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, if God helped Abraham, God will help me. You know, because God knew he was a good man, you know, and you know, but he was weak in that area at that time. So God was angry with him. God was displeased, let me use that word. So after 14 years, can you imagine God not talking to you for 14 years? He was 86 when they went to Egypt, you know, which was another mistake, but another message for another day, you know, and brought Hagar back with the, it was part of the baggage. That's why there are some places you should not go. Because when you go, you will carry something you should not carry. You know, so God was displeased with him. So anyway, after 14 years, God appears to him when he's 99. It was actually a transition year, just like 2017 and 2018 are transition years. This is a prophetic word I want to bring to you. You know, so it was a transition time. So God appears to him and say, walk before me and be upright. You know, you have not been upright. It was a kind of rebuke. Now, Genesis chapter 17. Now jump to verse 21 because of time. I want to just stay on message. And let me see. No. Go to verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, I didn't hear you. Abraham, give me a wave offering. Glory be to God. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her. I didn't hear you. I'm able one blessing here. That's something that should be easy to say. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea. 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 I will bless her. And she shall be a mother of nations, and kings of people shall be of her. Watch this. Verse 17. Very important. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. You can't blame him. And you can't blame him. At this time, Abraham had given up all hope of them having a child through Sarah. And that's why all his hope was on Ishmael. And many of us are like that now. Do you know how long we have been waiting for the manifestation of sons of God? Do you know how many years? I've been preaching this since 1988. 89. One of my first messages on these manifestation sons of God was in 1988-89 when I preached on the Elijah-Elisha company. Then I preached Man-Child company. Then I preached Joshua generation. Then I preached times and seasons. And since then, to the glory of God, I have been preaching and teaching prophetically about these things. I have stayed by the mercy and the grace of God on message. You know, Abraham, 25 years since God spoke to him and took him from Ur of the Chaldees and said, so shall thy seed be. Nothing had happened. So by this time, Abraham just felt, you've said, you know, this thing we have been saying it, nothing has happened. But see what God said. Abraham fell upon his face, I didn't hear you, and laughed and said, where? What are you saying in your heart tonight? Where did he say it? He couldn't dare say it in front of God. But in his heart. And that's where the issue is. What are you saying in your heart? Upgrade, upgrade, upgrade. And everybody say, oh, we use those, they upgrade. But in your heart, what are you saying? God looks at the heart, folks. God looks at the heart. I want you not just to say it with your mouth. I want you to say it with your heart. And Abraham laughed and said, where? In his heart. Watch his words. Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? I know God says so, but God, you don't understand. People don't have give children at 190, 99 and 90. These things just don't happen. Next verse. And Abraham said, like many of us say, unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Let me translate that to today. My vision is also God, spirit without measure. You know, ability of the mind of Christ. First to be, let's leave that one. You know, this one that I have in the flesh, this one that, you know, that we have now, let's just manage it. Let Ishmael, the product of the flesh, let it live before thee. Thank God for the job you've given me. Thank God for this. Thank God for this. At least let me manage this one. All this one that they're talking about is too high. Let me just manage this Ishmael. You will not manage Ishmael in Jesus' name. But that is the tendency of the mind of unbelief. It wants to water down God's standard. It wants to do what is comfortable for the flesh. What the flesh can produce. That's what it wants to do. You know. But God is telling you. He said, the thing I've said, I have not changed it. The works that I do, you will do. And greater works. I'm not coming down. I am not bringing you down to your Ishmael standard. I'm upgrading you. And so. Verse 19. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. Verse 20. And as for Ishmael, I've heard thee. Let's just jump this. Verse 21. Now, this is your word. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time next year. At this set time next year. 2018. Hallelujah. It's a year of new birth. You are going to birth upgrade. You're going to birth a new beginning. you're going to birth in your at this set time. God, you've been skeptical for 20 something years. You have your Ishmaels that, you know, at least God has done something. You know, if you look at the life of Abraham, it's a great study. You see, God called him, you know, because of time, I'll just hit it. Here's Genesis 12. That's the first place we start with. Is when Genesis 12, God called him and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldees. Abraham, God blessed. He said, come out, I will bless you, I'll make you a great nation. And he came out, he didn't know where he was going. Genesis 15, Abraham now started getting worried. I don't have a child. God said, relax, you're going to have a child. He takes him out, shows him the stars, and says, so shall your seed be. The Bible says, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Watch this. He gets that, and he's relaxed. You know, he believes God. You know, then he's waiting. The years begin to pass. There's no Isaac. The years begin to go by. First year, second year, third year, fourth year, 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, 15. There's no Isaac, no Isaac, no Isaac. However, watch this. There were other promises that were being fulfilled. Abraham was plenteous in gold and silver. There were other aspects of God's promises for his life that were coming to pass. But the main thing, the thing that without which all the other things God has said, the prophetic destiny would not be fulfilled. That main one hadn't yet come. And so it is in our lives. God has told you so many things, you know, and some things have come to pass. Thank God for them. Amen. But this is the main one. You have to give birth to Isaac. You have to give birth. I'm talking spiritually now. And so, in this year, 2017, around Passover, it was around Easter, God gave me a prophetic word, and I came and shared it here in church, the resurrection in Abraham and Sarah. And this was the word, that just like God gave life to the dead bodies of Abraham and Sarah to give birth to Isaac, God will give life to your mortal body to give birth to the fullness of the Son of God. That word was like a seed. You know what happens when a woman is impregnated? Amen. She's going to give birth to that thing in 9 months' time. So God said, according to the set time. Now jump to Genesis 21. Am I talking to anybody here? Genesis 21. This is God's word to us. And look at verse 2. Genesis 21. Thank you. For Sarah conceived. I didn't hear you. How many people want to conceive? Hallelujah. And Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the what? Set time of which God had spoken to him. Now, if you look at this, go and check it. Check, you know, sometimes when we read the Bible, we don't read it, you know, with our minds sharp. You know, when God appeared to Abraham, how old was he? How old was he? 99. When Isaac was born, how old was he? 100. So there was a year's transition between when the word came and when Isaac was born. It'll be like that for you in Jesus' name. The prophetic word has come, you'll be birthed inside your heart. It will be birthed inside your life. Just the same way God had to literally give life. Their bodies were as good as dead. Romans chapter 4. The Bible says Abraham, you know, faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. He said, but he staggered not, glory to God, at the promise. Now, you know, we all know he staggered at first. You know, that's why I like the Bible. It's an honest book. But didn't he laugh? Is that not staggering? He staggered first, at first. And then he thought about what God said. He went back to all the promises. He went back to see all the things God has said to him. He went back to see the faithfulness of God down through the years. He thought about many things. He saw how God prospered him. He was rich in gold and in much cattle. He said, okay, that one is God has done that one. You know, he began to think about all the different things that God had done. He saw how God helped him with Lot, you know, and how he was able to deliver Lot from all the kings of Sodom, you know, how Melchizedek came to him and took bread and wine from him and blessed him, you know, and he gave tithes of all. He began to think about all of that thing. This God who has been faithful in all of this, he would do this one too. So you know what? He became fully persuaded. And that's what you and I have to do. Go back. Yes, some things haven't yet happened. But the ones that have happened, go and start thanking God for it. Start thanking God for it. Say, count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Say, count your blessings. He says, and every doubt will fly. And you will go through the day singing as you go by. Are you listening to me? You have to do the same stumbling block that Abraham had. You and I have it. When God told him, he said, he laughed. He laughed in his heart. Shall a 99-year-old and a 90-year-old, shall they give birth? And God said, watch it. According to this set time next year, you will see. Hallelujah. And Abraham, initially he had that. Then he went back, he thought about it. Then he thought about the faithfulness of God. He remembered the stars he saw so many years ago. And God said, so shall thy seed be. And as he meditated upon the word of God and meditated upon the faithfulness of God, he became fully persuaded. And what happened? God's word came to pass. At the set time in the next year, between the transition, he was 99, and by the time he was 100, look at it. This Genesis 21. Hallelujah. Of which he has spoken of. Look at verse 3. I believe it is. 4. 5. Let me just see in my Bible. There it is. And Abraham was what? When his son Isaac was born unto him. When did the seed word come? When he was 99. But when was Isaac born? When he was 100. So, the Lord has asked me to come and share that with you. As we're going into this new year, the seed of the word of God that has been planted in our hearts, as we ruminate, as we meditate, and as we act upon these things, and I'm going to tell you how I'm going to do that in a minute, you know, you're going to birth. It's a year of new birth. A year of new birth. And that birth will now upgrade you into a higher level of your prophetic destiny. Like God gave life to the body of Abraham and Sarah, so that Sarah could conceive seed at the age of 90. And Abraham could produce seed at the age of 90. God is giving life now to your physical body. Hallelujah. And he's going to birth not Isaac, but he's going to birth the Son of God. In manifestation, what was shared this afternoon about the glory and the fire, you know, the fire and the transformation, it's already working inside you. Accelerate the process in Jesus' name. Bible says he will give life to our mortal body. The body is dead. The scripture says so in Romans chapter 8. He says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead. It's talking about not physical death, spiritually dead because of sin nature. The body is dead because of sin. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead will quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. You will still laugh. I say you are going to laugh. You are going to give birth. The life of God will be made manifest in your mortal flesh. Even though all these years we think, will this thing ever happen? You know, mommy was sharing about that this morning, you know, and I was blessed, you know. But he said, you know, Jesus raised Lazarus after 4 days inside the grave. It was his signature, it was his signing off miracle. It was the last miracle he did before, you know, the day, and then they arrested him and then they killed him. You know, it was his last miracle. God wanted it to be a miracle that nobody can ever gainsay. So when they sent to him, your friend Lazarus is sick. The Bible says he stayed where he was, so the man would die properly. We call it graveyard dead. Then he waited until he had been buried, so that there will be no, like Jairus' daughter and the son of the widow of Nain, there will be no doubt about, you know. And you know what he said? He didn't say this with Jairus' daughter. He did not say this. He didn't say it with the son of the widow of Nain. But he said it with her. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." He didn't say it in those two other situations. But in this situation, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth on me, that liveth, he will never die. Believest thou this?" Of course, Mary and Martha, they believed, you know, like us. You know, they say, "Yes, we know you're son of God and you will raise him up at the last day." I'm not talking about last day. I'm talking about today. Turn to your neighbor. Say, "God is not talking about the last day. He's talking about today. The life of God is not going to be made manifest in your mortal flesh. It's going to be made manifest in your life today. In 2017. In 2018. In Jesus' name. Amen." It's not going to be something that's going to happen at the resurrection at the last day. It's now. It's now. It's now. Glory be to God. So he said, "I am not going to be. I am now the resurrection and the life. Believest thou this?" Then he said something that just blew everybody's mind away. And we're going to see it in this generation. Amen. "Oh, I believe it with all my..." I don't know about you, but I'm fully persuaded. You know, I didn't get there overnight too. I became fully, because I have looked at the scriptures, I have prayed, I have checked it, I have seen the faithfulness of God in my life personally, you know, from when I was a baby, you know, even before I got to know God, you know, how he girded me, you know. I'm talking about Olubi Johnson now, and you can, every individual one of us can do this. Do a mental search of God's faithfulness in your life. Go, wait, you see where God brought you from. Something is an exercise we don't do often. Go and check where God has brought you from. Look at all the deliverances God gave you. Before you got born again. Pastor G will be able to understand. I can never forget in those days. Stupid boys going to hell. We will leave Ibadan at 10 o'clock at night, because we want to go to a party in Moremi Hall, in University of Ife. It's true. I did it. Pastor Boyega did it. And we would get on bikes. Harley Davidson. Kawasaki 250. On that Ife road. And we would start moving. We would be in a convoy. We'd be about 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of us. On bikes, some of us will be in cars. They will start speeding to find out who can speed the best. And we will go around those bends, 140, 150 mile, you know, kilometers per hour. I had a friend. My father was very wise. He didn't give me a bike because he knew I would kill myself. You know, they didn't give me a car either. But I had friends who had bikes and cars. So we all go together. I had a friend who had a Passat. We used to call it the Dasher. I'd be doing 150 on that road. And I would negotiate the bend. And negotiate the bend. And guys would say, I used to have somebody called a navigator. So you'd be checking. Look at us today. Is it not the mercy of God? Let's give the Lord a clap offering, someone. It's the mercy of God. This was before we knew who God was. Now, I have a question. It's a rhetorical question. If God could look after me before I knew him, is he not going to look after me more now? Give the Lord a clap offering. if God looked after me when I did not know him, is it now that I know him and that I'm praying and that I'm using life scripture and I'm inviting the devil that he will not look after me? Oh, I have faith. Oh, I'm fully persuaded. I am fully persuaded. I have thought it. I looked at all the promises. And I said, I got born again. I got filled with the Holy Spirit. God gave me a wonderful wife, wonderful children. You know, God's blessed me materially, financially, not greatly, but to a very significant degree. You know, healed me, raised me up, all kinds of things. The God who did all of that, he would do this one too. It's called being fully persuaded. Fully, you need to do it. You because we don't, you know, the Yorubas have that beautiful saying, Entoba Monuro. Amokweda. So Entoba Monuro kuni mokweda. In other words, the man who does not think and reflect cannot give thanks well. It is the man who thinks and reflects. And that's what Abraham did. He laughed. He laughed at first. That's why it's written in the Bible. So we know the Bible is an honest book. He laughed. Then Owaloro. Then he went to think about it. Then he thought, is it not this God who brought me out of the Chaldees? My fathers were worshipping the moon. He came from an idol worshipping background. He came from Iraq. My forefathers worshipped the moon. This God brought me out. Is it not the same God? And look at how he has prospered me over the years. Look at how he has blessed me. He would do it. He became fully persuaded. You need to become fully persuaded. And this is the way you're going to become fully persuaded. By thinking back, just go and begin to count your blessings. Count them one by one. God did this. God did that. 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 God did this. God will do that. So God will do this one too. And so, just like God gave life to the dead bodies, they're not dead, but you know what we mean, functionally dead bodies of Abraham and Sarah, he's going to give life to your spiritually dead body. And that your spiritually dead body will manifest the glory of God. The life of God will be made manifest in your mortal flesh. You will give birth to the Son of God inside your flesh in this year of new births. Hallelujah. Take this one. He said, according to the set time. Having said that, hello, I will close shortly. I don't know if I'm blessing anybody here. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. This upgrade of which we speak is going to be a new and fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit as recorded in the book of Joel. Let me give you a preview. See, if you go to the book of Acts, I'm just going to hit it running. I won't turn there, you know, but if Bimbo and Shola can put it on the screen as I'm talking, that'll be fine. You know, when... That's why it's so important. It's so important to read your Bible under the Holy Spirit carefully. When, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost was poured out on the 120 in the upper room, Peter comes out after that experience, you know, because the people said, these people are just drunk with wine. Then he said, this is not wine. He said, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is not wine. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, see how Peter quotes it. This is why we need the Holy Spirit. And what the Bible calls the manifold wisdom of God. Peter said, Joel said, and it shall come in the last days. That's how Peter quoted it. That I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and you know, young men shall have visions, and so on and so forth. He quoted it as the last day, but that's not what the scripture said. Joel didn't say last day. Now, Peter's application of it for Lazarus was correct under the Holy Ghost. That's why I said what I said earlier on. The whole Bible is prophetic. And it has a present day application. The way Peter applied at that time was correct for the day of Pentecost. But that is not what Joel said. Peter said, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will... This is what Joel said. Now go back to Acts and see what Peter said. No. Where it says, you know, Acts chapter 3. Thank you, Pastor Ibrahim. 2:17. This is that. Open your mouth. Which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days. It doesn't say that. Joel doesn't say last days. Peter takes here a little, there a little. You need the Holy Ghost. This is what's called rightly dividing the word of truth. Peter takes the application of the outpouring of the Spirit, and then he applies it to what happened to them on the day of Pentecost in the last days, because there is a last, and it's correct. Correct application. So he says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall do it. He takes that part, the Bible says, rightly dividing the word of, and he applies it to what was happening to them. He said, this one you saw today, the application of it is that what Joel said is being fulfilled today, and this time we are in is the last days. Correct. But you go back to Joel and see what it says. Let's go back to Joel. Good. No, move up. You're too fast. Go back to Joel 2:23. Aha. Now, you will see something here. He says, be glad then, ye children of Zion. Who? Is this all flesh? This is specific. This one is children. If you're a child of Zion here, give me a wave offering. Zion here is symbolic of the perfect church. Be glad then, ye children of what? Zion. Hallelujah. Rejoice in the Lord your God. If you can rejoice, give the Lord a shout now. Rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately. What's the former rain? Rain is symbolic of the teaching of God's word and the power and the outpouring of the power of the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the Pentecostal experience. That's the former rain. What they had in the altar in the early church. He's giving you that one. How many people know that we got it moderately? We have it too, but we know it's moderate. It's moderate. We thank God for it. Praise the Lord. But it's moderate. Yeah, we cast out devils, thank God. We speak in tongues, thank God. You know, we have some degree of prosperity, thank God. But it's not the one, it's not the spirit without measure. How many people know that? So the Bible is true. He hath given you the former rain moderately. Watch that. That was in past tense. The next statement is in the future. Is a prophetic word. He has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause. Glory to God. There is an outpouring that is coming. Glory to God. And he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former and the latter rain in the first month. You are going to get former rain and latter rain together. It's called double portion. Spirit without measure. This hasn't happened. The one that happened on the day of Pentecost is the former rain. He said he called in the last days generally. See, there are three experiences. This is a truth we have to keep saying and saying, because majority of the church don't know it. There's a three experiences a Christian should experience, and they are typified by the three feasts of Israel. Every Christian should experience Christ as his Passover. That's what happens when you get born again. If you're born again, you've experienced the fulfillment, the prophetic fulfillment in your own personal life of the Feast of Passover. The second experience is the experience of the Feast of Pentecost, where you fill the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues. Christian, watch this. Many millions of Christians experience Passover and never experience Pentecost. Millions. Up till today as I'm talking. But it's available. It's God's will, because it has already been written inside the prophetic scriptures. It is a part of your prophetic destiny. It is your right. It is your inheritance. If you don't get it, it's your fault, but it's there for you. Amen. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you experience the fulfillment of the Feast of Pentecost in your life. But there's a third feast. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. That one nobody has experienced yet. And the experience of the Feast of Tabernacles is that you will experience two things. The perfection, it says, you will gather in the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. You know, he's talking about the perfection, you know, the growth of the love of God in your life. The Bible calls it being rooted and grounded in love. The consequence of that experience is that you become filled with all the fullness of God, which will now lead to the ingathering of the nations. That Pentecost, so that tabernacle's experience is what we are about to experience now. So as I speak, we are eagerly awaiting and expecting a second Joel outpouring. We've had the first one, the Pentecost, but we haven't had the second one. So he says, he will cause to come down for you. I didn't hear you. The rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. If you go to some other time, you say, as before. You see, let me just say this on the side. It's not confusing. You understand it. You see, when Jesus was around, Jesus had the Spirit without measure. He gave a portion of it to his disciples, what we call the borrowed anointing. That was why the 12 and the 70 could do the miracles that Jesus did. You see, the Bible records it. It says, and they went out everywhere, they healed, they cast out devils, you know, and did great things. When Jesus died and went to heaven, he said, stay in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So this Pentecostal experience came, but they were still living on some of the residue of the borrowed anointing. That is why a baby Christian like Peter, his shadow could heal people on the streets of Jerusalem. Peter was, he was less than 2 months old as a Christian. They didn't become born again until Easter Sunday. It was only 50 days between Easter Sunday and the day of Pentecost. So you can imagine, you know, and you can see their childishness. You can see all the some of the mistakes that they made. And all that. But that anointing was there. Church history tells us this, and the Bible corroborates it. Around 100 years after the death of Christ, about that same time, this is by the time John was put in the Isle of Patmos, by the time the thing was getting to 100 years old, that anointing started to wane. This is one of the reasons why the traditional church, particularly the Roman Catholic and some of the other, you know, denominations, believe that miracles have gone. Because they thought that only miracles only happened through the apostles. That's why we don't have miracles today. It's wrong. I don't agree with them. But you see, they are looking from history that, since that time, we do not see the kind of miracles that we saw in the ministry of Jesus and in the early apostles. We don't see those kind of miracles today. Thank God for what we've gone today. We've seen, you know, some of our brethren, you know, operate some degree of the miraculous. But nothing like, when last did you hear of anybody whose shadow was healing people? They were bringing, go and read it. I don't have the time to tell that. The Bible says they brought all the sick, watch this. They brought the sick people from all the villages around Jerusalem, that peradventure the shadow of Peter No prayer. No casting out devil. No tongues. No groaning. Just shadow. And you read an amazing statement. You know what it says? It says, and everyone was healed. Give it to me. Let's go to Acts and we'll just quickly run back here. And everyone, it was not the Pentecostal anointing alone. It was the Pentecostal anointing with the residue of the Spirit without measure that Jesus had left behind. But it lasted only about 100 years. After 100 years, it waned. By that time, the most important things had been done. The scriptures had been completed. The last book was Revelation, which John got on the Isle of Patmos. Paul had written his epistles. Peter had written his epistles. You know, it was Peter, Paul, John, Jude, and that's it. And then Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That was it. So they had finished the job of finishing the canon. The records, the history records had it of all the great things. That's why it's called the Acts of the Apostles. That they did. All those great men, Peter and Paul and James and John, and all the great miracles that they did. The Bible says in the book of in Ephesus, it says, and God did special miracles through Paul, that from his body. How many people would like that? That's life of God manifest in the flesh. He says they took aprons and handkerchiefs. Then they would take them to people who were sick. He says they will be healed and the evil spirits will depart. Paul is not there. Pastor Boyga, I like that. I say, ha. Tell your neighbor, say, you are going to do the same thing. And greater. Because, the glory of the latter house. Everybody shouted, the glory of the latter house. We're greater than the former. Everything I've said now is former house. You know, I have done by the mercy and the grace, but the mercy and the grace of God has with me. I have done the research. I have thought about it. I have gone through the scripture. The difference between me and you is that I'm fully persuaded. I have, you know why? I know God is not a liar. What he has said, be sure he's going to do it. I am fully persuaded. And you need to get to a place where you are fully persuaded. Before we finish tonight, you will be fully persuaded in Jesus' name. I want you to be fully persuaded in 2018. Oh, Kasala, I just got another word. Talk to your neighbor, say 2018 is a year of full persuasion. I'm upgrading to full persuasion. I've been operating on partial persuasion. But I'm about to upgrade to full persuasion. Give the Lord a clap of praise. Hallelujah. 2018, I'm not going to be operating on partial persuasion. I'm upgrading my software, my spiritual software. I'm going to start operating at full persuasion. When I pray now, I'm fully persuaded. When I speak now, I'm fully persuaded. Hallelujah. So, let's get back to Joel. I'm talking about the second outpouring. There's an hour. It's coming. I'm going to say like Jesus said, the hour is coming and now is. We've had the Pentecost, but there's an outpouring. And this one is not going to start with everybody. It's going to start with the children of Zion. Let's go back. Joel, sir, he says, and he will be glad then. I didn't hear you. How many glad children of Zion am I talking to tonight? These ones are not glad, oh. These ones are not glad, oh. You know why they are not glad? They don't believe they are going to get it. If you truly believe you are going to get it, say you will begin. Shout to your feet and give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Be glad then. Be glad then. Be glad then. Be glad then, ye children of Zion. Why? Because he has given you the former rain moderately, and he is now going to give you the former and the latter rain together. If you can't be glad about that, I don't know what you want to be glad about. Now you can sit back onto your feet, on your seats. Next verse, 24. Oh, and the floors. What is this outpouring going to cause? He said, and the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. There is no time. Let me just summarize it. The spiritual food that is inside the church will be in abundance. I preached a message many years ago, corn, wine, and oil. Corn speaks of the word of God. Wine speaks of revelation knowledge. Oil speaks of anointing. It will be in abundance. I just got another word, honey. Do you know what happened in the time of Solomon? That was physical, but this is spiritual equivalent. He said that there was so much money, silver was accounted as nothing. There will be so much revelation. There will be so much power of God. He said the floors will be full of wheat, of wine, and of oil. That's what it is. The church hasn't experienced this yet. It's right in front of us now. Am I talking to anybody? And the fat shall overflow. Will wine and oil. Verse 25. And I will restore. The upgrade will restore. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. This outpouring, this release, this manifestation of the Spirit without measure that will combine the former and the latter rain together will cause a restoration. Amen. And I will restore, I didn't hear you, to you the years the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I send among you. Turn to your neighbor, say 2018 is a year of restoration. Everything the devil has taken, your health, your peace, your wealth will be restored. And when Job prayed, 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 he did what? He turned his captivity. Restoration. You know, Job lost everything. He lost everything. Was he not restored? And how was he restored? Double. In the year of the double. Hallelujah. This outpouring that is coming will restore the things Satan has stolen. This is just by the way. You know, one the many things are going to be restored, but one thing, one special thing that's going to be restored is our youth. Amen. He will renew your youth like the eagles. So you will see 60, 70 year old people operating like people who are 30 years old. Amen. Oh, it's coming. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm fully persuaded. You know, these are promises that make you stagger in unbelief. But you know, God has never said anything that is not true. Look at Sarah. That's the type. He said, look to Abraham and Sarah. How can a 90-year-old woman be attractive to a king? The life that was operating inside the body that caused her to conceive Isaac made her beautiful again. All the wrinkles had gone. The hair was restored back. The eyes were back. Girl, you're bad, man. Abimelech said, wow. He didn't know he was a 90-year-old woman. I'm sure he thought he was 35. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Lord will restore. Go back to Joel. Am I helping anybody here? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Hallelujah. No, back to verse 25. And I will restore the years. Now, 26. These are prophetic words. And you. Turn to your neighbor and say, you who? Children of Zion. Keep it in its prophetic context. Are you listening to me? Keep it in, so you are following what the Holy Ghost is saying. You, children. Now, wait. I have to say something. You know, this is my problem. A lot of people don't like prophets and everything. But I have no choice. I have to say the truth. Because I'm preaching the whole, not the partial, the whole counsel of God. is not for everybody, it's for the children of Zion. Mm. For those who do not know, the church has three parts. It's all one church. Let me explain in a simple way. This whole body here is Olubi Johnson. Hello? Is it not? But this is the head. This is the shoulder. This is the leg of Olubi Johnson. Amen? The leg is not the shoulder. The shoulder is not the head. But all of them is Olubi Johnson. That's how the church is. The whole church is the body of Christ. But inside the body of Christ, you have Zion. Zion is the church that's going on to perfection. You know, some people don't even believe in perfection. Some people have even never heard anything about perfection. Some have heard it and have rejected it. Then another part of the church is Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the church that is baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaks in tongues, but you know, haven't yet decided to go on to perfection. Then you have the outer court, which is Israel. Now watch this. Jerusalem is inside Israel. So everybody in Jerusalem is in Israel. But it's not everybody that is in Israel that is in Jerusalem. It's a prophetic truth. Now Zion is inside Jerusalem. Everybody that is in Zion is in Jerusalem and they are also in Israel. But it's not everybody who is in Jerusalem that is in Zion. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. So this prophetic scripture is written to the children of Zion. Why didn't he say Jerusalem? Because the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And God knowing, I like the way Paul said it. He said the scripture seen. And how can the scripture see? He said the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So that's why it's written. God doesn't do things carelessly. He deliberately is deliberately written like that. The children of Zion. You see this typology again in Revelation 12. The whole church. See the woman. Then she gives, watch this. She gives birth to the man child, Zion. The woman, Jerusalem. And then there's the remnant of her seed, Israel. That's why you have Christians not baptized in the Holy Spirit. They don't believe. They believe in Jesus is Lord. They believe he died for their sins. But they don't go beyond that. They stop there. Instead of going on into deeper things of God. They're in church. They're part of the church. But they've chosen to stay at that level. Then you got those who baptize the Holy Spirit. You know, who speak in tongues. And they think that's all. They call it the full gospel. It's not the full gospel. It's the measure gospel. It's the honest gospel. It's not the full gospel. Is an honest gospel. Thank God for it. But then there's something beyond that. There's something beyond Pentecost. It's tabernacles. The fullness of Christ. Wonderful scriptures that the people just choose to ignore. And like I was sharing in the afternoon, you know, they cast it behind them. How can you ignore Ephesians chapter 4? Until we all come. If you're part of the all, give me a wave offering. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is talking to you and me. Until we all come into the unity of the faith, into the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure, open your ears, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Give the Lord a clap offering. Olubi Johnson didn't write that scripture. He quotes it, he preaches from it, but I didn't write it. But speaking the truth in love, open your mouth, may grow up into him in some things. That is tabernacles. It's an experience beyond the Holy Spirit, beyond speaking in tongues. He said we receive the earnest of the Spirit. I was reading to people who are already filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, but I pray for you every day that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you become rooted and grounded in love. Comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height. You know, to know the love of Christ, which is greater than knowledge, that you, who is born again, who is speaking in tongues might be filled with all the fullness of God. So if your own was full, he wouldn't have to pray that prayer. So there is an experience. It is this experience of which we speak that Joel is prophesying about. So he says, "And you shall eat in plenty." I didn't hear you. "Ye children of Zion shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt what? Wondrously with you." Signs and wonders. "I and the children God has given me are for signs and wonders." You know, and he says, "And my people shall never be ashamed." All the shame of the church will go when this new outpouring comes. He said, "You will not be ashamed." Ah, let me say to you, Yoruba, Ojo ni ti. He didn't stop there. Next verse. We're closing very soon. "And you shall know." Do you understand what he's saying? He said, "You will know." He didn't say you will believe. See, you believe what is still invisible because the word of God says so. You know what you have experienced. "And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else." Then he says it again so that there will be no mistake. "And my people shall never be ashamed." It reminds me of Romans chapter 5. It says, you know, "Hope maketh not ashamed." That hope, that Christ in you, the hope of glory. All this preaching we are preaching, we will not be ashamed of it. Because it's going to come to pass. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Now, verse 28. "And it shall come to pass afterward." After what? After the children of Zion have gotten the Spirit without measure, then God will now... This is not the Pentecost one. That's why Peter did not quote it as afterward. He quoted it as last days. The Holy Ghost, knowing that there is going to be another outpouring in the end of the end time, now said, "And after the children of Zion," I'm paraphrasing, "have had and they have been satisfied, they are not ashamed, they are full," he said, "afterward, then I will now pour out my Spirit, not on the children of Zion, but on all flesh." Is it clear? That's what is ahead of us. It's coming. You know, the husbandman that laboreth, the husbandman, he will be the partaker of the first fruits. Then the others will have it afterward.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The husband is the one who's going to be the partaker of the first fruits. The people who have been groaning, praying, and all of that, they will get it first. Amen. Then afterward, there will not be an outpouring on all flesh. I preached this some years ago. I got to close. And I'll tell you how we know already. So I'm just going to summarize it. I put this some years ago. There's going to be an evolution. The word evolution just means change. Of the armies of God. That's why you have this gradation. Afterward. It starts with Gideon's army. Gideon's army is very small. In the type. 300, 400, just a few hundreds. Then it grows. When that Gideon's army, that's the first of the first of the first fruits that begin to, these children of Zion, that begin to manifest this glory of God. When the other people in the church see, they're going to run and come and want to land. So more people will come. As they come, it will grow from Gideon's army into Joel's army. Hallelujah. Gideon's army is in the hundreds. Gideon's army is in the hundreds, but Joel's army will be in the hundreds of thousands. then as that move continues to, it begins to, you know, snowball, and it begins to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and people will start coming to the brightness of our rising. They will say, let us go to the house of the Lord, you know, and they will come to Zion. As more people start coming to Zion and getting born again, the knowledge of the glory of God will begin to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And then it will now move from Joel's army to Ezekiel's army. That Ezekiel's army is all flesh. It will now move out of Zion to all flesh. It has to start with Zion. And from Zion it will now move. And then he says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And you will start seeing people from Indonesia, people from Japan, there's something I must say. You know, you see, there are a lot of people in Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, as I speak tonight, they never grew up with the Bible like you. You know, when I say Joel, you know what I'm talking about. If I say Noah, you know what I'm talking about. A guy who, all his life, he's born in Afghanistan, in some remote village. He has never heard of the Bible. He has never seen a Bible in his life. The only thing he knows is what he's been told in the Quran. He doesn't have an idea. There are millions like that. Yea, billions. There are those who are born in China. Those who are born in India. I was listening to an Indian preacher not too long ago. He said, we have about 300 million gods. Every Indian has at least three gods in the house. There's one in the bathroom. There's one in the sitting room. There's one in the kitchen. A god for every room. True story. That's all they know. That's all they've been exposed to. How is God going to reach them? This thing. As Zion begins to grow and begins to, you know, manifest the power and the glory of God. I was sharing this with the brethren the other day. It will start going viral. That's why the Bible says, if the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. Everybody say together. Together. Say it again.
Together.
Say it again.
Together.
It could never be together without technology. It's the presence of the internet and particularly the social media that's going to make it. You know, a miracle is happening in Ibadan. You know, somebody's withered hand has just grown out. And somebody just takes it. The person who even did the miracle doesn't even know. Somebody else just takes the picture of the thing that is happening and sends it by WhatsApp. Before you know it, it's gone viral. It's gone all over the earth and all flesh shall see it. So the brother in Pakistan, I'm talking about all flesh, young men, old men, little children, her servants and handmaids, the one in Pakistan, the one in India, the one in China, and all these remote places of the earth, you know, all the towns, Azerbaijan and Uzbekistan and all something, people normally would not have access to a Bible, and their governments are not allowing the scripture to come, you know, to come to you know what they're going to have? Dream and vision. Amen. Jesus will appear to them in a dream. It says, and the young men shall have dreams and vision. You see, you and I don't need too much of dream and vision. Now, there's nothing wrong with us having vision and dream. You know, because we have the more sure word of prophecy. But there are a lot of people who don't have the more sure word of prophecy. There are a lot of people who don't even have the sure word and they don't understand it. So many times to bring light, he will appear in a vision or in a dream. Go and check the Old Testament. Most of the most important prophetic dreams were given to unbelievers. Hello? Nebuchadnezzar's dream. It wasn't given to Daniel. It was given to Nebuchadnezzar. The interpretation of the dream was the whole of history, but it was not given to Daniel, it was given to Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel only interpreted it. Pharaoh's dream was not given to Joseph, it was given to Pharaoh. Joseph interpreted it. See, the natural man who isn't born again and who doesn't know the Bible and doesn't know God well. Now, even those of us who have Bible and all that, we also have dreams and we have visions, and that's fine. But you know, the reason why God is going to do a lot of things through dreams and visions is to be able to reach those people who ordinarily will not have any Bible. So they can't stop God from getting across to the people. Hallelujah. Just walk into the room of the king of Saudi Arabia and say, I am Isa, the prophet, the son of Mary, and I am the son of God. And you see that miracle that happened in Nigeria that you saw on your WhatsApp yesterday, I did it. And the man will get born again in his room, filled with the Holy Ghost. God has no borders. It's coming. This is the next move of the Spirit. As Zion begins to trumpet, he said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Indian flesh, Nigerian flesh, Japanese flesh, Chinese flesh, hallelujah, all flesh, young and old, young men, male and female. There will be no restriction. And it will now go from Joel's army to Ezekiel's army. And the Bible calls it an exceeding great army. The Lord told me they're going to be in their billions. Or at least hundreds of millions. You know, we're not many on the earth. We're about 7 billion now. 7, 8 billion. 8 billion is a lot. Are you listening to me? You know, before we finish this whole revival and everything, you know, we're going to wind up, in my estimation, and this is an estimation, I'm not saying it's going to be exactly like that, but it's an estimation, we'll probably wind up with about 1 or 2 billion. I'm talking about 1 or 2 billion solid, born again, spirit filled, carrying borrowed anointing. And that is enough, more than enough, to fill the earth with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. I got to close. How? It's very simple. I shared a lot of it in the afternoon, and I will not repeat myself too much. I'll just say this. You have to wait actively. You know, we've been waiting for this thing for years. How many people know? We saw the blood moon 2014, 2015. You know, but Jesus told us, he said, you know, when you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your heads. We knew it wasn't then. We knew it would be a short time after. So 2016 has come. 2017 has come. Now entering 2018. What do we do? Exactly what the Bible says. Though it tarry, wait. Wait. Not passively. Wait actively. Wait. He says, you know, in Romans chapter 8, he says, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit do wait groaning. So you wait in the place of intercession. You wait in the place of prayer. As you pray and as you groan and as you travail, you are pumping the life of God into your physical body, preparing yourself, positioning yourself for the glory that is about to appear. So do what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10. And you know what it says? It says, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. And he says something that is, I want you to hold this as you're entering 2018. Cast not away your confidence that has great recompense of reward. Let's stand to our feet. 2018, the year of new births and upgrade, spiritual upgrade. The outpouring, the second, if you can call it that, of Joel. There's been one in the day of Pentecost, but this one is for us, this tabernacles. This is for the children of Zion. And then after we've got it and we've walked in it and we're not ashamed, we've manifested the glory of God, it will now naturally just pour out. And go to all flesh before the end comes. The greatest days of the planet are ahead of us. Not only us, my wife and I, so many true prophets are also saying the same thing. There, an outpouring of the Spirit is coming that has, the earth has never seen anything like it. Thank God for what happened in the ministry of Jesus. But Jesus was only one Jesus. Can you imagine having a planet that has 1 million Jesuses? It's an invasion. That's what's going to happen. A planet that has 1 million. And you know, when you think about it, honey, it makes absolute sense. Jesus only covered a very small geographical area. In those days, they didn't have technology. They didn't know all these continents. All they knew was that Middle East area. And where did Jesus? He didn't even go into the. Jesus never went anywhere outside Israel. He was in Galilee, Judea, Samaria, and that was it. He remained within the geographical boundaries of the nation of Israel. So he said, the works I do, you're going to do, and greater works. Now, you are not going to be restricted to Israel. Hallelujah. The Jesuses of today are going to walk everywhere. They're going to be in Lagos, and in Ibadan, and in Tokyo, and in London, and in Moscow. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There will be a Jesus in Moscow. Then there will be another one in Beijing. Then there will be another one in Dubai. Then there will be another one in Riyadh. Then there will be another one in Islamabad. Hallelujah. Everywhere God will make sure there is a Jesus there. That will manifest the glory of God. Hallelujah. Then the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Talk to God. We're going to go and pray in a minute. It's just 11:15 now. So we're going to do a one phase of prayer to go into the new year. But just before we start, I'm going to ask Mommy to come and lead with intercessor. But just before that, I just want to talk to God on your own. Just for a minute. I'm not going to do any long prayer now. And just say, God, this year, 2018, the word says, and God told Abraham at this set time, in the next year, I want to birth the Son of God in my mortal flesh. I thank you for your word that he came in 2017. At this set time in the next year, he was 99 when the word came. Isaac was born when he was 100. Look to Abraham and Sarah, the rock from whence you were hewn. Talk to God, everybody. Talk to God. Say, God. Say it in your own words. You know, don't get religious. Be honest and all of that. Just say, God, have mercy on me. Help me. This thing this pastor is saying, God, I'm not going to miss it. Lord, help me to be a child of Zion. Help me to be a true child of Zion. Hallelujah. And then give me the former and the latter rain together. So now everybody's going to have the full anointing, but the borrowed anointing, that's okay. That's where everybody starts. Like Peter, James, and John, you know, and the 12 and the 70. Say, God. It's very, very instructive that just had a multitude, but of that multitude, only 70. No, 82. Plus the other guy who we read about, 83. You know, maybe 100. That carried the same unction. He took the anointing that was on Jesus and put on. It's the same thing in this end time. That's why you need to position yourself. And this, the condition, they weren't perfect. We know Peter wasn't perfect. Everybody knows that. You know, John and James and John, the sons of thunder, we know they were not perfect. But they had a good heart and they were following after. That's all God requires. An honest heart that's going to follow, start practicing these principles. Watch and pray always to be accounted worthy, to be a partaker of this spirit without measure. That's about to be made manifest. Talk to God. Say, God, help me. God, help me. Everybody say, God, help me. God, have mercy on me. Oh, have mercy on me. Oh, God, have mercy on me. Give me more mercy. Give me more grace to hasten the day of your glory in my life personally. God, have mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. Mommy, I'm going to...